right where we want it.
Prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light. Fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy, good sir.
What's going on?
Yeah,
how's your Friday?
It's a good Friday. Good. A solid Friday so far.
Good.
Did some laundry, had some lunch.
That's why.
Busy little Friday. It's a nice Friday. Any Friday is a good Friday unless something bad happens, right? Because it's Friday.
Interesting thought.
It's leading into the weekend. It's literally the easiest day to not screw up.
Yeah, as long as something bad doesn't happen, you're right.
Yeah, unless something horrific happens, you're like, well, you got the weekend going ahead. So even if it's a very just kind of blah, non-eventful day, you're still like, hey, at least it's Friday. It's a very positive day.
We have a very special and famous person sitting in on the show today.
Yeah, and by the way, I've had this rumor in my mind for years about you, and finally today, I have evidence of it.
Do you feel like I'm presenting my long-lost child to you?
Yes, I feel like somewhere along the way, because you have Meat, the one son, but yes, he's biologically yours. That's the stepson. But knowing your whorish ways, there's no way that there's not a bastard Rob somewhere out there. And I'm just waiting for the day he comes forward, and sure enough today, here it is.
He's here.
Yes, there's a Rop.
I have an email from a man named Ray Rop, and he listens to us.
Spelled the same way, right?
Yeah, R-O-P-P.
Yeah.
And he listens to us, and he's like, hey, just want to let you know, I'm out in Hillsboro, and we have the same last name. And apparently he used to live in Kansas. The plot thickens.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never heard of any Rops outside of Kansas.
Well, it's weird because it's not like it's a fairly common name.
Not at all.
Sukanik, I've never met another Sukanik. I've told the story before that there's a big time lady professor at Michigan who has the last name of Sukanik. But when I emailed her asking, hey, do you think there's any sort of connection? She told me basically go to hell. She said she had no interest whatsoever in exploring this conversation.
That means she knows there's a connection and she wants nothing to do with you.
She's just like put it up. Was like, nope. Nice try. You're a Sukanik. I'm a Sukanik. I don't care.
Wow. Interesting.
It was really abrupt. And that was I don't remember the exact, it was about three lines, but the end of it was, I have no desire to continue this correspondence. And I was like, holy crap. Lady not interested. Bam.
Well,
why did she have to give such an official response?
Well, I think nope. She's kind of a hoity-toity. She was like the head of something, some sort of department at Michigan.
You're not on her level. She doesn't have time for you.
I'm guessing she thought like I was like some sort of poor distant relative that was looking for money or something.
Right.
That would be my guess.
Seriously?
Right.
I just said in the email, I said, this may sound weird, but I said, I'm a Sukanik. My father was an only child, and I've never met another Sukanik. And I said, I happened to stumble across your name, and I basically just was like, I wonder if we have any, because my dad's big into genealogy. I said that. I was like, I wonder if we have any sort of connection. It was basically just something like that, and it was a non-starter. But I've never met another Rop in all my travels.
Yeah, that's not a common name.
No.
So Ray emails me. He's like, hey, love the show. I've got a son, and he wants to come down and job shadow you.
He has a son, or you guys have a son.
Well, he's here today. Reagan Rop.
Reagan Rop
is job shadowing. He is a young man who is 17 years old.
Uh-huh. Well, so I came into the studio to record something with Mike, and you were in there with the Lil Rop. And I felt bad because immediately I started cursing at Lynch, and I was like, oh,
clean it up.
There's a young in there. And then when you told me his last name was Rop, my first question was, how old are you? Said 17. I said, that's about right, because you're 43. Yeah, that's about in the wheelhouse.
It fits the window.
It does fit the window.
Hell of a nice kid.
Yeah.
Real smart, too, so yep. He probably is mine.
Handsome, dashing, good-looking.
But, you know, he's got a dad. Yeah. I hate to burst your bubble, but he's got
a
dad.
Yeah, his name is Isaac.
His dad's name's Ray.
I've seen the show. It's called My Two Dads. All right? I've got two dads. Why can't he?
Well,
I'm just saying, there's a Rop that fits the timeline, bumming around Kansas a little bit, and now he's interested in radio, and just out of the blue, he decides to contact you? Seems a little fishy. A
lot of coincidences here.
A lot of coincidences. Have we met Mom? Have we met Mom, Rob?
No. I haven't.
Or have you?
Oops. No, happy to have Reagan.
I'm just saying it's kind of convenient that you've talked to Reagan, you've talked to the dad, but Mom, nowhere to be found.
Well, anyway, he's here with us today.
Plot thickens.
We need to go to Ancestry.com and spit in a tube, apparently. Maybe we're related. I don't know.
Well, I have said on this program many times that if I stumble across the genie and get three wishes, we know what one of those wishes is going to be.
I can't believe you would waste one of those.
That's not a wasted wish.
It absolutely is.
No, it is not.
Horrible.
No. I got three wishes. One of them is to come in here and find out that at 43, now that you're an empty nester, you slipped one past the goalie, and there's a baby Rob coming. I mean, not just that, but you're going to be an old dad to boot. Oh, yes.
That tells everyone all they need to know about you, that you are that spiteful.
I'm an innovator, that I'm a genius.
That would be one of your three wishes. Of all the things you would use one on that is unbelievable.
I got two others. I'm not going to say if it's my only wish, but if I've got three of them, that's one.
What's your other two?
Well, I can't tell you that, and then it won't happen. I can only tell you about the third one. Now, if I get two wishes, I'm probably not wishing for you to have the kid, but three, definitely. Rop is one of them.
I can assure you that you would not be amongst my three wishes. In no way are you that important. That's a very big decision, and I would not waste it on you.
That's not wasting. No. Think of the joy.
Hey, you know what? It might be kind of cool to have a kid right now.
Think of how much fun and enjoyment. Lynch,
what do you think, Mike?
You personally, how much enjoyment would you get out of staring at Rob's face when he made the announcement that there was a baby Rob coming?
Not as much as you. You've been talking about this for so many years.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
I think that you would go on vacation with how excited you are. You'd need to take a week off.
It would be great.
I would look at it and go, oh, well, okay, cool.
What if Mike and I have kids at the same time?
Oh, look at that. Raise them together. Well, yeah, Mike's bound to make that announcement.
Yeah, he's due soon, right?
Sure.
Ooh. Do we...
No.
You got an announcement?
No.
Ruffle non-committal over there, kind of like Rop with his bastard love child over there.
What would you nickname your new son if you had one, Rop? It can't be Meatball.
Nickname? I don't know. What? Why? How could I answer that?
Now we're getting into hypothetical
I'm asking
names.
Would it be another
hypothetical genie children?
Would it be another meat product?
Good grief! What? I don't know.
Another maybe meat stick.
We've got meatball and turkey sausage here.
I tell you what, this is going down the toilet.
Yeah, it is. Very, very quickly.
But we'd like to welcome.
Should
Reagan.
I go right? Should I go left? Damn it! How do I get in that little girl's toilet?
There's a job for everything. Yes, welcome your son.
Yeah, he will be job shadowing Mike today to learn about a business that he does not want any part of.
No, he didn't seem very enthusiastic about the whole thing. In fact, the first thing out of my
exploring.
Mouth after I found out he was your child was prepared to be underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. That's usually the way it works. But sometimes you got to come see for yourself.
I try to set expectations low.
Hey, I want to apologize to all the ladies out there because Tim Tebow is officially off the market.
Well, not yet.
No, he's off the market. He's engaged. Did you read this?
I did read this, but that doesn't mean he's off the market. It just means you got to swoop in now. It means that you got to double your efforts to try to get yourself a piece of Tebow.
It's over. He's decided. He has conviction. Well, he's a man of the Lord. Like when he put the rock, that rock on her finger means something.
Well, she is Miss Universe.
She, a former.
I mean, not like the current one.
Yeah, no,
isn't
he
that
didn't.
The most Tebow thing ever? Like, that dude doesn't spread it around for whatever 30 years or however old he is, and then he settles on Miss Universe?
Yeah, she's a hot.
Do you think, by the way, that's legit? He's wearing white on the wedding day?
God, I would have no idea. I would hope not.
Wow.
But he says he is. Boy, or does he? I don't know.
Hey. I don't know if he said that.
I mean, he said it once. Like,
probably not.
Like, way back when.
In other words, you're asking, is Tim Tebow a virgin? And the answer is most likely no.
Because he claimed back when he was in the NFL that he was.
No, I don't think he is. But that's just a guess. I don't know. He hasn't texted me yet.
Yeah, could you get on that?
Oh. Her name is Demi Lee Nell Peters, which is very odd because she has two hyphens. So her first name is Demi Lee. And her last name is Nell Peters. Hmm. Well, and they're both hyphened. So well, if she gets married to Tim Tebow, which is going to happen.
If the hyphenate more?
She could have a third hyphen.
Huh.
She could be Demi Lay Nell Peters Tebow.
I think when you're Miss Universe, you can pull that sort of thing off. Like, no one really questions it.
She's from South Africa.
Yeah, she is. She's a South African Miss Universe. Mm. And here's, I have two stories. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I have quick Tebow news here. The first story about her is that she was once carjacked at Hyde Park. And she, the perps
yeah.
forced her into her car. They took her keys, but forced her back into her own car.
Oh, is okay.
And she throat punched one of them and got away.
Okay, so she was just Miss Universe then, last year, because.
I think 17.
Yeah, because my daughters were watching the Miss Universe pageant this year. And so I came in, they're like, what are you doing? Or I said, what are you doing? They said, we're watching Miss Universe. I was like, well, sit down and watch it.
Is that the Trump one? Or is he Miss USA?
I think he's Miss USA. So I sat down and watched it, and she was the rainy one because she handed over the crown, and she told that story. And quite frankly, as often we do on this program, as noted news contributor, I'm not buying it. I'm instantly calling that there's more to that story than meets the eye. I'm calling BS.
Well,
on
the
that.
Story has been whittled down to the fact that she throat punched a guy and then got out of there.
I was going to say, because originally the story that she told on the Miss Universe is there were multiple people. They were armed with guns, right? And then she went all like kung fu fighting. And I'm like, really? That's what happened? You had a bunch of dudes with guns and one of them got throat punched and they were like, well, the kidnapping, that's not. No.
It's like the movies where they stay down for like an abnormally long period of time and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That person shouldn't still be down.
No. I just remember I watched the Miss Universe pageant this year and they heard that story and I instantly turned to my kids and was like, no, that didn't happen. Not that way. I needed more details on that. And when I was Googling it, because right then I'm like heading to the phone. And let me tell you, even when you read the articles, it's very sketchy details. So quite frankly, I'm not buying the whole she watched Billy Blanks Tybo and then like thwarted some sort of master criminal in South Africa and got away. My guess is that some homeless dude came up to her and like grabbed her by the sleeve. She probably did elbow him and then scooted off down a trail. And that turned into a great kidnapping story.
Now, do you know his story at all?
Tebow's?
Do you know much about him?
Well, I mean, I think the same that everyone else does. I mean, you've seen profiles on him.
Yeah, but you pick him up at, you know, he wins a Heisman and he's good looking and all this.
Oh, he was like the guy, though, in high school. He was like one of the top recruits. Like he's done missionary work. His parents, I think, are preachers.
Yeah, so his parents were Baptist missionaries.
Yeah.
And do you know that Tebow was born in the Philippines?
I did know that. I didn't know the Philippines, but I knew he was born overseas somewhere on a missionary
trip. His parents met at the University of Florida. And they went over to the Philippines as Baptist missionaries. And here's the thing. Before she became pregnant with beautiful little Timmy, whom we all know as a god.
Yeah, he's the miracle baby, right?
She got dysentery.
Yeah.
And she was in a coma. This is Tim Tebow's mother. And she was in a coma. And as she was recovering is when they discovered that little Timmy was in there.
Yeah.
And they thought because she had dysentery and they were treating her with all these meds.
He's going to die, right?
That he was going to be stillborn. And they recommended a.
Like an early term abortion.
Yeah. They recommended an abortion. And the parents didn't believe in that. And they decided against it. And they popped out the most beautiful human the world has ever seen.
Well, quite frankly, the most perfect human the world has ever seen.
I mean, how about that? I didn't know that about Tim Tebow's story.
I didn't know the exact details, but I've heard that. They call him their little miracle child. And by all accounts, like the coverage of Tebow is nauseating. By all accounts, that guy's the genuine article. Like he's that nice. You will not find someone that A has a bad thing to say about him, or B like supposedly a phony bone in his body. Like he is the genuine article. Like he spends like his offseason like going around. Like when he was at Florida, like after his Heisman Trophy, he went to the Philippines and was like circumcising like babies and like doing like medical work and building Habitat for Humanity stuff and. Oh, and by the way, there's a chance he gets to the major leagues. Like they're saying that there's a chance that he could play for the Mets. Now, granted, it's the Mets, so it's like major league light, but it's still major league baseball.
He's perfection.
Yes.
What do you think the worst thing he's ever done is?
He probably cursed at some point. My guess is that he probably slipped up and dropped like an S word or something. I'm guessing never an F bomb, but there was probably an S word that got thrown out somewhere. He felt bad about it and immediately repented. Like, he seems as, like, if you...
You know what, though? He can't run for president.
Yeah, he can.
He was born in the Philippines.
Doesn't matter, as long as you're a U.S. citizen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you had to be born in the
U.S.
Yeah,
I thought you had to be born in the U.S.
No, it doesn't... Like, my dad was born in the Azores, but he was born on a military base.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Azores.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah. The
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
The elder statesman John Sukanic.
Is that a planet?
No, it's a set of islands. The Azore Islands. He was born there. So if you are a U.S. citizen and your parents are U.S. citizens, but they're on, you know, whatever, you can be born somewhere else and you can still be president. You don't have to be born, like, you know, that doesn't quite work that way.
I thought it did. I thought no. You had to be.
No.
Well, anyway, well, so now he can do that, too.
Yeah, I think he can be president.
Well, anyway, I just thought that was amazing. So then he and his four siblings, they moved back to the U.S., and they were all homeschooled, and he is dyslexic. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and he considers his dyslexia a gift, which I don't know why, but.
Because it was something that he finally had to overcome?
Yes.
As opposed to everything else that's been given to him?
Right.
Like, really, what sort of trials and tribulations has Tim Tebow had to overcome?
Well,
I guess having some difficulty reading and writing, maybe. If that's the toughest thing you have to overcome, consider yourself fortunate.
He's had to fight urges, yeah. Luke.
I mean, fight urges, right?
I'll tell you what.
He's had to overcome fears.
You know what? That's underrated.
If he is actually still a virgin, that is the biggest challenge he's ever
did
faced.
Did doctors recommend you be aborted?
I don't think so.
I mean, they probably should have. But.
Yeah. Wow. That got dark in a hurry.
Well, he had to overcome that.
And
I mean,
personal, what?
People, no, nah, it was a joke. People are, no, I mean that in the funniest way possible. People, like, nope, that's, like, he was counted out, man.
Yeah.
He's overcome a lot. You're not giving him enough credit is what I'm saying.
No, I'm giving him credit.
They wanted him kicked to the curb.
Believe me.
And his parents are like, nope.
I'm giving credit where credit is due.
He's incredible.
Many people on the text line say that Rop and I are right. You have to be born on American soil, which can include military bases, but it has to be American soil. So if he was, if his parents were missionaries in Philippines, it was probably not a military base.
Oh, so like if you're born at like the consulate or on a military base, that constitutes it?
That counts as American soil.
Because I know like John McCain wasn't born in the United States, but and he ran for president.
Military, right?
Yeah. Okay.
What so if maybe- I just put an American flag out in front?
Let's call it a no-counsy, right?
Just born on the moon.
You surround your child with some tiny American flags and go good? All right, so maybe that's the case, that it has to be a military base or some sort of outpost.
All right, well, listen, we're sidetracked at this point. Just know that Tebow's engaged. Ladies, you cannot have him.
Someone said, what if the dysentery drugs turned him into Super Tebow?
There is evidence. To support that claim. I mean, look at him.
Maybe you're onto something here.
All right. Are you ready for some football?
Yes. I had to think about it, but I'm going to go with yes.
I don't know.
We start there. Also, we have audio of Doug Brenner discussing his Oregon workouts under Willie Taggart. We'll get to that coming up as well. It is 3:18 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, what we've determined is Tim Tebow can run for president.
Yes, I was correct the first time around.
Even though he was born in the Philippines,
yeah.
His parents are American citizens.
Yeah, so that was what I thought originally, is that as long as you are a U.S. citizen, and if your parents are U.S. citizens and you're born, you don't even have to have both parents. You have
just one.
Just one. Then as long as you're born, no matter where you're at, then you're...
As long as you're born, yeah. You got to be born, though.
You got to be born. You can't have... Well, then there's that age requirement. Can't have a little fetus running for president.
You know, so Tebow will probably be a future president, and he'll be a great one.
Yeah. Well, right after The Rock, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, anything goes now.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Oprah, The Rock. Because Tebow's what? Tebow's 30, 31. I think you got to be, what, 45? Although I think The Rock does meet that. I think The Rock's 45.
So did you know one little hot fact before we get to some hot football talk?
Sure.
There is a famous person who renounced their U.S. citizenship, which I find fascinating.
Is that Jesse the
Jesse
Body?
Jesse who? Oh, Jesse the Body?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what's going on with him.
He lives in Mexico, and he bitches and moans about the states a lot, so I thought maybe he did that.
He quit the U.S., huh?
Well,
but there's a difference
between.
But
he lives there.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of people are expats, or like they go and they live somewhere else, but they're still, they don't renounce their citizenship.
Yeah.
But when you renounce your citizenship, I've always wondered, like, if you don't, if you are under the protection of another government, mm-hmm. like, you're just kind of no one, right? Like, how do you travel? How do you, who protects you? Like,
well, you have to be a citizen, you got to go get a citizenship of another country.
Well, I'm sure you probably are required to, but you don't, I mean, if you, what if you don't? Like, what if I go down there and I renounce my U.S. citizenship tonight, mm-hmm. and however long it takes? And then I'm just floating. I'm stateless, bro.
You know what? I don't know.
Then I go to the Azores?
I don't know the exact thing about that, but I've read something about, like, you become like a refugee. Like, that's essentially what refugees are, is you don't belong to a country. And I do think you can get some form of passport that basically says as much. You're like a citizen of
I'm a nomad.
You're like a citizen of the world. I forget the term for it, but yes, you can get documents stating that you don't belong anywhere.
So I could be king of my own land?
I don't know about that, but you still are able to
call myself whatever I want.
You can gain entry into different places. So I was just guessing the gist of the body, or Seagal's Russian now. I know that.
Is he?
Yeah.
But did he renounce his U.S. citizenship, or is he just a...
That I don't know. I just know that he, like Russia embraces Steven Seagal and he's a citizen now.
No, it's Tina Turner.
Oh.
You know, she has lived in Switzerland for like 20 years, and she went through the process of renouncing her U.S. citizenship. She said, I have no use for the U.S. Huh. I will never live there again, and so F you.
Is that coming up because that Masked Singer, like some people were like, oh, that's probably Tina Turner, and people were like, dude, she's not coming back to the United States for the Masked Singer.
For the what?
You haven't seen that? The Masked
what is
Singer?
That?
It's,
oh.
it's a new singing show no. where... a bunch of desperate people hang on to trying to be relevant. So they put on like masks and then they sing and you have to guess who it is.
Oh.
And all the stupid judges like MTV scientist Jenny McCarthy and the Blurred Lines guy, Alan Thicke's kid, he's on there like as the judges.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
And forgot about him.
So the best part is they have to guess who the celebrities, I'm using air quotes here, as celebrities are. And they're always guessing really big names as opposed to who's actually under there, which is like Tommy Chong, right?
Somebody you won't even know.
They're like, what? And so they're like,
do they get given a list of potential people?
No. They're like, they give you clues and hints, then you can hear them sing.
If it were Tina Turner, like, you would know.
Well, here's the thing.
She's a worldwide.
Tina Turner isn't coming back to the United States to sing on your crappy show.
Right.
Like Ricky Lake will
She's
be on
big.
That show.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
So stop guessing that it's Beyonce and Christina Aguilera and Tina Turner. Tina Turner is one of the most famous singers of all time.
Lady Gaga.
Yes. That's who they're guessing as opposed to Tommy Chong.
Mr. Chow is a judge?
Yeah, Mr. Chow is a judge.
God, how about that guy?
Yeah.
So he was a doctor.
He was a full-on... Like he had his own practice.
And he went
practice.
To audition for The Hangover or something else, another part, and he got it. And now he's like this character actor in Hollywood that everybody loves.
Yeah, I'm guessing he makes way more now doing this as a doctor, and it's probably better, and he gets more tail.
Well, it's probably boring being a doctor.
I would think so, as opposed to being, Mr. Chow.
So anyway, and by the way, you have to be 35 to be president, not 45.
Oh,
so
that's it?
Yeah, Tebow has 4 years.
Oh, so we can both be president.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
I'm of age. I qualify.
I thought you had to be older than that.
So do you. No, all right. 35.
All right, let's do it.
And he's getting engaged, and so it's only a matter of time before he's on the ticket.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow.
To Miss, and by the way, once again, Miss Universe. That's who he's married.
Right.
Jeez. Freaking Tim Tebow.
All right. Now, this is
focus.
2 days in a row where we've just blown through the first half hour with stupid talk.
3 days in a row.
Sports talk.
It's really
non-sports.
It's been about 13 years of it. But
do you want some more Jeff Bezos news?
Oh, did you see there's nudes?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of her?
No, him.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah, so National Enquirer is making it out like he was cheating on her, and their people are saying they were separated for a long time.
Yeah. But they've got text messages from Bezos to the new lady, and supposedly in those text messages...
Close-ups.
There's Ween.
Great.
Yep. And so I guess those are being negotiated, and it's only a matter of time before we see the world's richest penis make an appearance. And don't act like you're not going to look, because you will.
Why do you always say that to me? I'm the first one to admit I'm right in line.
We're all going to look. Everyone wants to see what a $137 billion penis looks like. Everybody.
Curiosity gets you every time.
Yeah.
So like the Gene Simmons sex tape.
Boy, that is rough.
Had to watch.
That is rough. But yeah, supposedly those are coming out within a couple days. Within a couple days.
All right. Are you ready for some football? Have I asked you that yet?
Yes, I thought about it. I debated it. I went back and forth, and ultimately I settled on yes, I am ready for football.
Then let's talk about it. When we return, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, big weekend of football. We've got four good ones, or at least, you know, on paper, four pretty good ones.
Yeah, there's only one with a spread over a touchdown, and that's the Saints. I think they're favored by 8, although some of that is dipping down as some sharps are coming in on Philly and the points.
See, I saw 9.5 already this morning.
Really?
Saints, yeah. But it may be dipping, and then the Rams is up to 8.5 favored over the Cowboys. But, you know, the Saints and Rams are going to be favored by a lot over anybody because they can put up so many points, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Chiefs are, you know, 5.5-point favorites. It's just that I think the exciting thing is, all four road teams are pretty intriguing. I mean, sometimes at this stage of the game, you get some road teams that you're like, man, they have no chance of winning. But give me a road team in these four games that can't win. There isn't one.
No.
All four of them are capable of winning these games, which makes it exciting.
Well, and I'm picking, I think I think L.A., the Chargers, not the Rams, because they're not on the road. I think the Chargers are going to win, and I think the Colts have a real good chance. I'll take the Rams and the Saints. I think those are close games, especially Dallas and the Rams. But I like the Chargers to win outright. And if I had the huevos, I would go with the Coltsies. But I still like the Colts and the points.
Well, I think they're all, I don't know. I'm most looking forward to the Colts-Chiefs because of, well, points, hopefully.
Well, and there's a history there with the chefs, if you will. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when there's like a long standing misery in one city, isn't it kind of fun to see it just perpetuated again?
What if it's your city?
Well, then that's not so good.
But I'm not a Chiefs fan, so I don't really care.
Exactly.
But there is, so the Kansas City, they're freaking out there.
Yeah.
And they just have this incredible, what would be the word? Just insecurity about that team. And rightly so. I mean, you know, it's they have been one and done in the playoffs in 9 of the last 10 times they've been in the playoffs. That goes back to 1994.
That's a long time. And there's been some really good Chief teams in that run.
Great Chiefs team.
The last time they won, right? Joe Montana, I think last time they won a game at Arrowhead was old Slingin' Joe.
So four of those nine losses are to the Colts. And Kansas City was favored in 3 of those 4. But the key was Indy had the better quarterback. See how that works?
I do see how that works.
So the first one was in 1996. And this is classic Schottenheimer choke.
Old Marty Ball.
Because he was the king of, you know, going into the playoffs and being all conservative. And they were 13-3. They were favored by 8. And they hosted the Colts. And freaking Jim Harbaugh came in there with Indy. And I think the Chiefs quarterback at that time was Gerback.
The Elvis. I'm trying to think of who else was on. Was that like Dante Hall? Was that Chiefs team?
So this was 96. I'll look it up for you.
Remember who was on that Chiefs squad. Maybe Neil Smith on the defensive side of the ball, perhaps?
Well, Harbaugh threw for 112 yards.
And they won?
And they won. Yikes. The final score was 10-7.
An offensive juggernaut-like explosion. That is, if you want to sum up Marty Ball in a playoff loss, I give you that.
Yeah, that team, so you'd have to look at, it's actually the 1995 season.
Oh, because I'm looking at 96. You got Steve Bono. You got Marcus Allen was on that squad. Neil Smith. Derek Thomas.
Oh, yeah, so I said Gerback. Yeah, Bono was their quarterback.
Yeah, Bono. So that was Neil Smith, Derek Thomas leading the defense, and then Bono and Marcus Allen. Wide receiver, no one that you'd really heard of before.
They were 13-3, and then Harbaugh came in there and punked him. 8-point favorites. 2004, 8 years later, they play the Colts again, and this was when Dick Vermeil was there, and Tony Dungy had Peyton Manning, and the Colts were 13-3, favored by 3, lost.
You mean the Chiefs were favored?
Or I'm sorry, the Chiefs were favored. Vermeil and them were favored at home. They were 13-3, favored by 3 and lost. 2007, this time the Chiefs were only 9-7, and the Colts were favored because they had Peyton Manning, and the Colts beat them handily. And then in 2014, the Chiefs were 11-5. Yeah. They were once again favored by a field goal, and the Colts had Andrew Luck, and they came back. They were down 38-10.
Yeah, that was the old Alex Smith squad. And
38-10, and they came back and beat him.
Yep, one of the great comebacks in playoff history.
So forgive Chiefs fans for having a little trepidation when it comes to playing the Colts again.
Oh, and by the way, your defense is an absolute sieve. And the Colts just have a look right now of one of the more complete teams. And a lot of people think maybe a sleeper Super Bowl type team.
Well, I wonder if now the quarterback thing, it's kind of even, although, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has never played in a playoff game.
No, but Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP, although a lot of people think that if you were to include the postseason in this thing, maybe Andrew Luck should be the MVP.
Well, Mahomes threw 50 touchdown passes.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, him never having played in a playoff game, I think that matters. Andrew Luck has been in the playoffs. He's won on the road in the playoffs. He's battle tested at this point, healthy man. I dare you say the quarterback matchup slightly even may favor Indy.
Well, how many times have you seen a game where the MVP is possibly viewed as not the best quarterback on the field? I mean, it is strange. Like if you had to pick, like take the teams out of it, we'll divvy up the rosters like playground style. And you've got the first pick. Who are you taking?
Quarterbacks?
Well, yeah. Like you're talking
about this game.
This game. We're picking rosters here, and you've got the number one pick. So obviously, you're going to pick one of the quarterbacks. Do you take Luck or do you take Mahomes?
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you might be talking about number one and number two in the MVP.
I'm taking Luck because of the experience. He has been in the playoffs before. Mahomes has not. I just think that matters. Yeah. Like, you look at the end of that Rams game, the Rams-Chiefs game, as good as Mahomes played, what happened? Big-time atmosphere, big-time game. He made the mistakes down the stretch that allowed the Rams to win that game, as well as Mahomes played. I just think there is a bit of a learning curve. Doesn't mean Mahomes can't light the Chiefs or the Colts up. It's just, I don't know, I'll take the experience, especially when, you know, I mean, Luck's damn good too, so.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Andrew Luck on that, but Mahomes is amazing.
Well, we know the Chiefs offense is greater than the Colts offense, but the Colts are a more complete team right now, right? I mean, the Colts are running the ball better, especially no Kareem Hunt, and they actually have a defense that's playing pretty well right now. And a lot of people think that with Kareem Hunt being gone, that this is just going to be on Patrick Mahomes, that they are going to not necessarily abandon the run game, but this is going to be Mahomes throwing the ball 55 times. And if we're going to win it, we're putting it on your shoulders, kid.
So I don't know. I don't know if the dynamic of the Colts owning the Chiefs turns Kansas City into sort of a pseudo underdog. And that's good, right? Because they're really good.
Yeah.
And their offense is really good. It's like, it could help them to flip the script on this whole thing. And people, I mean, they're 5.5-point favorites in the game. And everybody's on the Colts.
Yeah.
Everybody's viewing this like, oh, here we go again. Andy Reid in the playoffs, Colts over the Chiefs. So that could maybe actually help the Chiefs. I don't know. Maybe it can't. But
well, don't you think the Chargers and Patriots have some of this too? That with Philip Rivers never having beaten Tom Brady and the history with charging it in the postseason.
Yeah, but I think that's
why New England is the favorite. The Chargers are a better team than New England.
I think New England's overrated this year because they're New England and again, the point spread is more about who people are always going to bet on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I mean, and they're probably not wrong. Blindly bet on the Patriots. You've won a lot of money over the years. This year, they're not as good.
No.
Tom Brady's not as good. And yes, the Chargers look like they're playing better football right now. But the point spread is still Patriots by 4 because everybody will always bet on the Patriots. So it's a little misleading. But when it comes to the Chiefs and Colts, I feel like you said, Colts are more complete team.
Yep.
And the Chiefs have this real big monkey. You know, the Andy Reid thing, he is 11-13 in his career in the playoffs. And I think a lot of people are going, here we go again. You remember what happened to them last year? Yeah. They had a home playoff game last year. The freaking Titans.
Got them.
They had the Titans Titans came all the way back and beat them.
Didn't they have the Titans down by two scores, too?
Yeah. I want to say it was like 21-6 or something.
Yeah, I want to say that was a 14-ish point lead when they gacked that thing away.
And that's the Titans who just can't play from behind. So it's just like you just expect the Chiefs to screw it up.
Yeah, you wonder if there, too, with that history, if there's a pucker factor. And maybe the same thing with the Chargers, too. When you have a bad history, and if it... It's one thing if you get out to a hot start, but if you go out and you struggle, you turn the ball over and things start going away from you a little bit. Do the fans start to boo and do you start to feel
restless?
Do you feel some of that pressure? Yeah, you're telling me that if Mahomes comes out and throws a pick six early, or, you know, Indy, those first three drives against Houston, right? Just right down the field, just rolling. If they jump out to a 14-0 lead, you're telling me that crowd won't turn on Kansas City? You better believe they will. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the pressure, because you're right. As great as Mahomes has been, he's never faced something like this. And to be honest with you, he didn't play in any big games at Texas Tech. They were never in any sort of real contention there. He's never played in anything like this.
So the Chiefs, that game last year, the Chiefs were up 21-3 at half.
21-3, and
you know what the final score was? 22-21.
Oh, my. To the Tennessee freaking Titans. To the Titans.
Yep, at home.
Who, by the way, then got their coach fired the very next week.
Now, Kansas City, that's true, but Kansas City is better this year. Well, there's no question.
No, yeah, the offense is.
The
offense is unbelievable, but dude, their defense is horrific. Their defense can't do anything. And I guess that they rush the quarterback a little bit, but they're not going to get to Luck. He's been sacked fewer than any other quarterback in the league. So the one thing that they can do on defense is negated by Andrew Luck and that Colts offensive line. Well, they better score a lot of points.
Yeah, and they will. I think that's why I'm looking forward to that game most. I think that game's in the 30s, one of those types of games.
We had a caller just call in and say that game last year was the largest home lead given up in a playoff game ever.
No. Wait, was the Colts, Chiefs?
That was in Indy.
Oh, was it really?
Was, yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think he's right about that.
So do they have like...
That was 28.
I want to go back. When's the last time? Do they have the two worst blown games in postseason over the last 25 years?
Well, the Super Bowl, Falcons-Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Falcons.
How many was that?
18, I think it was.
18.
So the Chiefs blew an 18-point halftime lead last year at home,
yeah.
And they blew a 28-point lead in Indy in 2014.
Does the Super Bowl count? Because that's technically a neutral site game. What we need is Kansas City to get into the Super Bowl and then blow a 20-plus point lead. That way they can have the worst home, worst road, and worst neutral site Super Bowl blown lead. Just go, you know what, they call that the triple crown.
All right, text the Better You Today, text line 55305. Notably, Chiefs fans are freaking out. And not just because it's the Chiefs, it's because, oh, here come those Colts again.
Yeah.
Four times since 1994.
That have a real season look about them right now.
Yes, they do. They look good. So we'll wrap this up. Take a look at the Chargers. And then how about the Cowboys? I think that Cowboys-Rams game is interesting. We'll take a look at that as well. Coming up next, 3:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Doug Brenner, former Ducks lineman, opens up about those workouts at Oregon. We have some audio we're going to play for you. But, okay, so I looked it up. We're talking the divisional playoff games this weekend. You know, the NFL. So, 25-point lead was blown by the Falcons over the Patriots.
Is it 25 in the Super Bowl?
25 in the Super Bowl, which is the third largest blown lead in playoff history. Of course, number one is the...
Frank Reich, right?
Frank Reich, yeah. Oilers-Bills was 32. That's the biggest blown lead in playoff history.
But I'm assuming that's the biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history, right?
Yes, because it's third in playoff history. Yeah. The second biggest blown lead in playoff history was the Chiefs and Andy Reid blowing the 28-point lead to the Colts and Andrew Luck, which was in 2014. So it goes the Frank Reich game, 32, Andy Reid to the Colts, 28, the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl, 25. Those are the three largest blown leads in playoff history.
We know what, like 4 and 5. Where does the other Chiefs blown? You said it was an 18.
Well, that was only 18, and so now you're getting into there have been a lot of leads. Let's just say it this way: at least 21 points or north of that, there have been a lot of leads blown.
Okay.
the three touchdown lead's blown. So 18, it's not.
It's bad.
It's
but
bad.
It's not medal stand
it's
bad.
Not, it's not 28 bad.
You're just in contention bad.
So the other games, which we have spent less time on, one is the Eagles-Saints, which is probably the least intriguing of the four.
It certainly has gotten, it's the biggest spread, and it certainly is the one that I think people are giving the least chance for an upset.
But the Eagles, you know, there's the only thing about that is you just can't count them out, man. They've been
isn't
hanging with
isn't
everybody.
Isn't that the only reason
kinda.
Why this game is intriguing? Yeah. It's the Nick Foles magic and Philly's the defending champs and hard to kill. And
well, they've just been playing so much better. They're definitely a different team. I think a lot of people – sometimes you just cement who you are in the minds of people early in the season, and that's such a fallacy. Like, you can't – you just have – you have to look more at this team since Wentz went down. These last six games, they've won five of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's who the Eagles are, not the team you watched get blown out by the Saints the first time. And so I think you can get kind of wrapped up into dismissing the Eagles.
48-7, by the way, the first time they played.
But nobody, I mean, everybody thinks the Saints are the best team.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks the Eagles are better than the Saints. But the Eagles just kind of have this thing of, man, they won it last year with a backup quarterback, and they're hot right now, so you can't count them out. Still, though, Saints should win that game. I think the Rams-Cowboys is a really interesting matchup, too, because...
I feel like a lot of people are talking themselves into the Cowboys.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Cowboys, so the Rams are a touchdown favorite, if not more than that. And I think the Rams are going to cover, and I just don't think they're going to do what they did last year. They were at home. They had the same game at home last year, and they got punked by the Falcons. And I just don't think the Cowboys... They're not going to do that again this year. But in the event... let's say the Seahawks won last week. Mm-hmm. Would you be picking them to win this week? I don't think you would.
No.
Right? Like nobody, I think the Seahawks are a team that was, it was amazing that they made the playoffs. And had they won in Dallas, you'd come to this weekend and go, all right, the big boys are entering the fray this week. This is where the rubber meets the road for Seattle. I'm not really sure why no one's saying that about Dallas, because I think that's the exact same team. It's just, They can run the ball really well with Ezekiel Elliott, which they will. They have really good defense, studs on defense, which will keep they can hang around. But Dallas is not nearly as good to me as the Saints and Rams, and they're at a level now where I think, you know, I mean, Jason Garrett ain't going to win this game, man.
No.
I got news for you. He's not good enough. This is where the rubber meets the road for the winner of the Dallas-Seattle game. And I'm not sure why. I think you're right. I think a lot of people are trying to say, "Oh, Dallas, Dallas, Dallas." Man, they are not nearly as good as these teams that got the buys.
I've even
heard. NFC.
I think it was Colin saying that he actually likes the Cowboys roster better than he does the Rams roster, which I just scratch my head at. I get that Dallas has a better defense, but I think that
they're not. I mean, they're good, but You know what Garrett's gonna do? He's gonna punt. On third down from the Rams 20.
Be third.
Just in case.
Third and three, and they're like, well, yeah, let's not
punt.
Risk it.
I mean,
do
he's
a
just,
quick kick and try to pin someone down.
I think this is that team. The winner of that game was just that, good enough to win that game, yes. And now it's another level.
Because let's be honest, Seattle and Dallas both were a little in that game. Remember, I mean, Dallas was down going into the fourth quarter against an inept Seattle offense in that. It's just their defense kept them hanging around. Had Russell Wilson, I think, thrown the ball a little bit more. So it took two fourth quarter drives. And what was that third and whatever, third and 13, the big scramble for Dak Prescott. So I just think that the Rams are, I'm with you. The Rams are that much better than Dallas, but people, because the Rams haven't looked as good towards the end of the season, and Dallas has been on a hot streak since Amari Cooper came over, I think people are talking themselves into the Dallas Cowboys.
They'll try to muck it up, but...
Well, they're going to have to.
That's the only way they can win.
I'm getting a shootout with the Rams, but that's if you want to say that this game can be competitive and that they can cover the spread, I understand that because the Rams can't stop the run, and Dallas should be able to run the ball effectively, including with Dak Prescott, and just try to shorten the game. If they have any sort of hope in this, it's that your defense comes up with a couple turnovers and you're able to limit possessions.
Yeah, you got to get turnovers. You got to punch it in the red zone.
Yes,
Dallas is gonna be settling for field goals
all
night.
They need to not be. They have to be more aggressive. They can't just, you know, there needs to be some fourth and ones in field goal range where you say, look, we're gonna need sevens in this, because I think they almost did that against Seattle. and it came back and cost him. Where you we talked about this, that your defense can lull you into a false sense of security, where you're playing an ugly, kind of muddled up game. And you're like, well, we'll just keep playing defense and we don't want to make any mistakes. So let's be real conservative on offense. And then it gets down to the final possession or two, and the other team does get aggressive trailing. See what happened to the Bears in Philly. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, you know, maybe we should have been a little more aggressive. So I do think that Dallas can't just sit there and say, hey, our defense is going to hold these guys down for four quarters. Even if they're doing it for two and a half or three quarters, they have to put some sevens on the boards. I don't think field goals are going
to
beat them.
Well, it is supposed to be raining down in Southern California,
which
would favor Dallas.
Yes, Dallas wants to muck this thing up, play defense, run the football.
And the other interesting thing is that game's at the Coliseum. You know, Cowboys fans are everywhere. There are going to be a lot of Cowboys fans down there,
man. Is this going to be like more of a national title sort of game where you got like a 50-50, 60-40 split?
I wouldn't doubt it if it's close to 50-50.
That's kind of embarrassing if you're a Rams fan, right? You're going to get 90,000 people to show up and 45 of them are going to be Cowboy fans?
Yeah, and they're also going to be fake Cowboy fans because...
L.A. Cowboy fan. Well, isn't most Cowboy fans fake Cowboy fans? It's a little bit like Yankee fan.
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit.
Although, they haven't done anything for like 20 years.
And my point is I still think there's a lot of Cowboy fans just waiting to be Cowboy fans. Like they saw a Greek yogurt commercial with Dak Prescott and they're like, oh yeah, Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
I read that Dak Prescott wasn't even alive the last time they won a road playoff game.
Really?
He was not dead. I mean, he wasn't dead.
Oh, Dak Prescott dead.
But he was not conceived.
Was that I'm assuming that's got to be the Troy Aikman group, right? The last time they won a road playoff game? Because they've
90.
Yeah, that's got
95.
Yeah, that's.
Well, they won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Aikman and the triplets.
Switzer.
Because after that, dude, they didn't do anything for the longest damn time. Like after that group, they did nothing.
Nothing.
And they've won, what, two playoff games since?
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, it's been dreadful. They haven't done a gall darn thing.
Hey, America's team, though.
But it's the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, they got cool uniforms.
They do. Oh, man, you can't beat those.
No, they when they do the whatever color blue that is, dude, that the pants are.
So good.
That's
classic.
Yeah, it's a good look.
All right, there's a little football talk. Doug Brenner opens up about those workouts at Oregon, and you'll hear that coming up next on The Fan.